two grants and finance accounting specialists, Helen Sheridan. Her focus is on financial aid related grants, and Ruben Lanting is the grants and finance accounting specialist for all the other grants that are not related to financial aid. The I do have in place the post grants and compliance administrator, Kanika Threet. I have the pre-grants and contracts administrator, Angela Hopgood, and accountant three, Rudy Tracy.
How many of these people are new?
The top three are new.
Ms. Threet?
Helen Sheridan, Ruben Lanting, and Kanika Threet are new. Angela Hopgood has been here for just about 10 years. Ruby Tracy has been here for about three.
Yeah. I'm assuming they've all had experience specific to what you're going to have them do.
Yes, yes. Kanika Threet does have compliance background with the state and with federal grants as well.
Right. So I got some other questions, but I'll let you go through first.
Okay. Next slide. Now that I have the people in place, we have the opportunity now to take a look at the workflow, particularly now that juxtaposition against the previous audit findings. You have a workflow, now you can put together a process of how authorizations, approvals, and forms will flow, and that helps you to visualize a flow chart. And a flow chart in that case serves as a map. And once you have a map, you have the ability to accurately locate problems in your process. And once you can locate those problems, you can correctly provide proper course of action for them. So to give you an example, I apologize, that's kind of small for the audience. But you have it on page three. Okay. We started doing the flow charts. We have actually decided to do seven flow charts. We've completed three. And having the two, to give you an example of those two flow charts, the first one is the appendix one is on the pre-grants and grant preparation flow chart. And the second one is on the grant activation flow chart. So now that we have a map, the next one, we now have the ability to map correction action plans onto that flow chart. The process is called process mapping. It's something that I adapted from my own background with biochemical pathways, identifying pathologies. So you can see that from this particular process mapping, focused on where in the pathway are you able to provide correct calculations for indirect costs, for matching, and for fringe benefits? Okay. You can see between those two maps that we're able to have at least seven points of contact where it provides actually seven points of oversight. You can use that same one for an additional, the next one. I use that same those same two process maps to ask the question about subrecipient monitoring. Next slide. And you can see that that provides seven points of contact, which represent seven oversights of subrecipient monitoring. So this is the process that we're going to use in order to move forward with our corrective action plans. And this is very strategic. It allows you to see precisely where in the flow the disconnect is. It identifies who's responsible for the disconnect. Each one of those levels have checklists associated with them. I provided those in the report and appendices. So this is the way that we are working out our strategy on the corrective action plans. Again, next slide. We have finished three, and we are working on the next four. But the next slide, on the indirect costs, that's the report that I'll leave for next time. I think that you'll probably have a lot of questions with that. Particularly, I put in several graphs Could you go to the next slide, next one? Next one, yeah. So that begins about three graphs of which I'll probably elaborate on in our next board meeting.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Any questions on the corrective action plans?
Looks pretty good.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll have the rest of those for you.
I like the transparency.
Yeah.
And I guess the only question I do have is ultimately you own the process though, right?
You own the process, and hopefully this will allow us to spread this out in a three-dimensional fashion, mapping into other departments. So we fold that into other departments, and we can use that same process mapping strategy to see where the strategic points of breakdown is in the corrective action plan.
Have we been able to bring some IT support and automation to these processes?
Yes, I've talked with C. Cole Dillon, and their new process that they're going to have is going to incorporate this. So we have started to talk about this. The other thing that we've talked about is putting our forms that we use on the website to be interactive.
Right.
So that will allow us to dump things into a database. That's the direction that we're moving. I'm finishing up on training the rest of my staff on access. So as we capture these checklists and we complete the form process, dump in the database, and it'd be very easy to retrieve the information.
Right.
And that's where we're moving to. We're still amassing great deals of information, and we're capturing that. That was how we were so able to make that audit finding go away very quickly. That was the first thing we established, was the process in grabbing the documentation, supporting documentation for all of our expenditures, and then converting it to electronic form. Now it's to build the database to retrieve that information quickly.
What are other universities using by way of software in this area? Have you benchmarked some of that?
Right, they're using Banner for the most part.
So Banner has the capacity to do this.
A great deal of this. However, some of this, particularly in grant submission, I've talked to several universities, one of which was Loyola, and Loyola had to build theirs internally, their interactive that fed into Banner.
Okay.
And so I had contacted the grants manager. She had came out and did a presentation in our office, but unfortunately she's left Loyola because I was thinking of contracting her to help us build that platform.
Mm-hmm. Where'd she go?
I think she went to California for a better position.
Okay, she moved beyond our access.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Right.
But we're still pursuing that.
Okay.
We're still pursuing that.
So, I mean, because ultimately, if we automate and have our own software, then some of our issues
will really go away.
Yeah, because, you know, all right. Well, thank you. We appreciate the hard work. We know that this has not been easy to staff and grow and review and collect and try to get this
right
to right the ship. So we do appreciate the hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you. It will yield fruit.
Okay. Yeah. I do have two resolutions to put before the board for approval. The first one is the HIV STD prevention program for African American males. This is a grant that has been in existence for 3 years. We're asking the board to approve the third year amendment to the contract. The original contract was this brings it to a total of $435,518, and the amendment itself is for $152,763. And this grant program is for providing intervention strategies for African American male in at-risk neighborhoods.
Is there a motion with regard to the grant?
So moved. Second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
The second resolution is for Upward Bound program. Again, you know that Upward Bound also is aims to generate program, help program participants in building the skills and helping them to motivate, become motivated to move forward into college, to be retained and persist and to graduate. And we are asking for the board approval in the amount of $517,500.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
And that ends my report.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Harris.
You're welcome.
So that concludes the business portion of our meeting. Are there any public or employee